for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, December the 26th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Do You Have Ears to Hear?
Bless you. It's good to be back. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I'll just add one thing to what Dr. Null said. Everything he said is right, but you know, you could sum up deliverance in James 4:7. Number one, give yourself to God in repentance. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. If you don't give yourself to God in repentance, you can resist him all day and he won't laugh at you. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight I want to teach on Do You Have Ears to Hear? And it wasn't because of my experience observing the people here at Lake Hamilton, but every camp, Glenn will say, when you go in the cafeteria, go to the back of the very end. And, I mean, this is emphasized every time. And people will just plop down at the front of the table. I mean, I'm just amazed. But God really gave me this message when I pastored a church. I would send a member of the congregation to the feed store, for example, because we had a farm. I'd say, now get that yellow box. And they'd come back with the green one because they thought it looked better. And Jesus said over and over and over in the Word of God, to him who has ears, let him hear. Well, everyone he spoke to had ears. What did he mean by that? And men, do you have spiritual ears to be able to hear more than you can hear with your physical ears? Physical hearing has to do with hearing physically. Spiritual ears has to do with hearing spiritually. And before you can have ears to hear, you've got to know God. You've got to be born again. I think Howard Pittman, did he say 70-80% of the people that call themselves Christians are not even saved? What does he say, 80%? 70? You know, there's a remnant that God is coming to save. Those that are willing to come under his discipline. You know, Jesus said, the plan of salvation, we've had the little tracts and all this stuff, and I used to be in fact, I don't know if they still consider me that, but I went through all the training to be a certified teacher's trainer in the evangelism explosion. You get people to pray a prayer, slap them on the back, well, you're saved. You know, I had to repent of that. That's where it starts. But Jesus gave the plan of salvation when he said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, how many so-called Christians do you know that are willing to take up the cross? It's not fun. You know, when I first got saved, I thought I maybe did God a favor. Because I just didn't see that much sin in my life. But that the more I walk with God, the more sin I see, and the more that broad way that everybody thinks is the way, it becomes more narrow and more narrow and more narrow. And in the days you're living in, the only thing that is going to protect you in these last days is your obedience to the Lord and your ability to hear the Lord. Now, Jesus said, my sheep, those that are mine, they hear my voice. And they obey me, and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. And so in order for us to have ears to hear, we have to be born again. We have to have our lives transformed. You know, if I talk about being born again, you'll say, you know, you may think, well, you know, do you mean that I pray a prayer? If you don't understand what I mean by being born again, you can't explain it. Chances are you've never been born again. But, you know, you can't explain being born again except at one time in my life, everything about me changed. It was a transformation in my heart where I wasn't even the same. 2 weeks after I got saved, I knew that I was saved, a curse word came out of my mouth. And I used to curse like a sailor. And I'm glad that most of you who know me couldn't believe that. It's been 46 years ago I came to know the Lord. But a curse word came out of my mouth, and I wasn't even a church member, and I just said to God, that doesn't sound like anything that should come out of a Christian's mouth. And God, that day, delivered me from cursing. I mean, that was 46 years ago. But I accepted the Lord in 1958 at a Billy Graham crusade, got baptized, but my life never changed. Kept on smoking, kept on cursing, no change at all, but I prayed the prayer and got baptized. But 5 years later, I was born again when everything about me changed. And if you've not had that experience where everything in your life changes, you haven't been born again. And so you need to be born again. Personally, I believe the Word of God teaches that unless you're a disciple, you don't know God. Disciples are people that come under God's discipline. In fact, the Bible says, without sanctification or holiness, no man will see God. And so that means we have to constantly be in change from glory to glory to glory. I think every day of my life is a day of another deliverance. And you never come to the place where you don't need deliverance. In fact, the more you know of God, the more deliverance you'll get, because the more able you are to understand truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. When you first start hearing it, you don't quite understand what you hear, and the more you know about God, the more ability you have to get free. And so I thank God for self-deliverance. I've been doing self-deliverance, goodness, for 15 or 20 years. And I thank God for it. And it's a daily walk of putting to death the deeds of your flesh. And so you've got to be born again. John 12:24. Jesus said, if you hold on to your life, you lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll find it. And this message is on having ears to hear. I want to say that most ear problems come in through us not listening to God, which goes back to us not listening to our mother and father. You know, if you perceived your mother and father as stupid or ignorant or never saying anything worth listening to or being too strict or too abusive, or you grew up in contention and strife, you know, you can just kind of go into a soundproof booth, right? Or you can just let your parents know that you're listening, but inside, you have them turned off. You know what I'm talking about? And so that transfers over into your relationship with the Lord. If when I used to pastor a church, I had people that were crackheads, prostitutes, mentally ill, all types of people. And then I have people say, "Well, God told me this." And I think, you know, God didn't tell you nothing, because you don't know how to submit to authority. If you can't submit to authority, can I tell you, you're not listening to God, the Heavenly Father? And if you disdain your mother and father, or maybe you grew up with verbal abuse or in contention and strife, or had a raging, controlling, angry parent to where you just kind of tuned them out. Or one girl I know just... at one meeting, she said, you know, something's wrong with me. I don't enjoy listening to the Word of God. And I said, well, did you listen to your daddy's Word? She said, I couldn't stand his voice. Every time he would say something, I'd go inside. Ugh! I hate his voice. And so I led her to repent of hating her daddy's voice. And about 3 months later, she was in my kitchen. She said, you remember when you prayed for me? She said, I didn't know, but I had a hearing problem. You see, that's one of the roots to, you know, going deaf when you're older or not being able to hear. It can be one of the causes of hearing loss. Or deafness is not listening to your mother and father. Or maybe you thought they were too strict. I know one girl, because she grew up in contention and strife, she's deaf, she signs, you know, she does sign language. And that came in when it was like for her to cope with all the fighting. She just kind of checked out emotionally and went into a spiritual soundproof booth. And we can just kind of turn our parents off. And I think we've all done it in varying degrees. But I want to hear God. I want to be able to hear Him spiritually. And I know If you didn't want to hear God, you wouldn't be here. Everybody here is wanting more of God. I know I want more of God. I'm not satisfied with how much of God I have. I want more every day. Otherwise, can I tell you, in old age, you'll get senile? If you're not pursuing God and putting to death the deeds of the flesh and dealing with your stuff, the Bible says you'll be given over to a reprobate mind, which is one of the roots to Alzheimer's. You can't ever take a vacation from God. You can't ever come to the place where you just kind of think, well, you know, I've arrived. We've got to keep on pursuing the Lord. And God instructs us over and over and over in the Word of God to incline our ear to Him. And to incline your ear means to stretch out, spread out, extend, bend your ear to hear Him. I wish I could say that I heard God all the time, but I'm telling you, I don't think there's anybody that tries harder to hear God than I want to hear Him, because I can't make it without Him, and neither can you. In the parable of the sower, Jesus told the disciples, He said, "Blessed are your ears, disciples, because you hear. Blessed are your eyes because they see." And you know, if you're a disciple of the Lord, that means you're dealing with your stuff. You can confess that. I'm a disciple, and because I'm a disciple, blessed are my eyes because I see. Blessed are my ears because I hear. I don't know how many of you were here a few years ago when I couldn't even read my Bible. I mean, I was having a hard time. Even with my glasses, if I was in a dark place or a dim place, I could not read the thermostat on my central heating system if it was dim in the room. And praise God, through repenting over the Word, and if I was driving on a freeway at night, and I drive on a lot of freeways at night by myself, and I couldn't read the signs with my glasses, I couldn't read the signs. Can I tell you today, I can read those signs. Hallelujah. I thank God. And I attribute to repentance, number one. And number two, we don't get the proper vitamins we need. I began taking Dr. Whitaker's eye vitamins. And that's what I needed, because I've dieted most of my life. And I'll say this about dieting. I don't know what God's doing in my life, but I've prayed in English for so many years for God to help me lose weight. And now I thought, you know, there's something wrong with my thinking about food. It's messed up. So I've been praying in tongues a couple of hours a day, asking God to straighten out my thinking in a lot of areas. And one has been food. And God is changing the way I look at food. And I thank God for that. So, you know, if you don't have the answers, you can pray in English for years, and I have done that. But when you have something that you know is not right in your life, pray in tongues about it, saying, "God, straighten out my thinking on this. Give me your mind, give me your heart," and He'll do it. I see things around me changing. But the thing about the disciples is that Jesus said, "You'll know you're my disciples if you have love for one another." He said, "Abide in my word and you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free." A disciples obey. In Isaiah 50, God says, "I'm going to give you the tongue of a disciple, that you might sustain the weary one with a word. And every morning I'm going to wake up your ear to listen as the disciple, and you will not be disobedient, nor will you turn back." So I'm asking God tonight to open our ears to listen as a disciple, so that we'll not be disobedient, nor will we turn back. And so the disciples' eyes were blessed, and their ears were blessed to hear. Job 34:3 says, "The ear tests words as the palate tastes food." Isaiah 50 says, "God wakes up your ear to listen." So Lord, wake up our ears to listen to you as a disciple. If you have problems following instructions to a T, can I tell you, you don't have ears to hear? I remember a guy that was coming out to my farm. He wanted directions. He was going to buy. I had all these hogs and all kinds of things before Y2K. And I don't know if you've tried to sell a hog, but it'll cost you about $50 to get rid of one. but anyway, he was going to come get these hogs. And so I said, when you get into the loop of Tyler, you take a left. And then you follow the loop around. He said, when I get into Tyler, let's see, I take a right. And I said, no, you take a left. And then I said, and then you continue around the freeway. And he said, then you turn right at another street. I said, no. And I thought, boy, bless your heart, brother, you don't have ears to hear. And so you know if you have ears to hear. And like I've said, as I've observed people when I've come here, even last time when I was here, we made such a big deal out of do you have ears to hear, went right in there, and you wouldn't believe the people that were at the end of the table. For those of you who've not been here, Glenn tells you when it's mealtime, don't sit at the front of the table because it's crowded. Go all the way to the end, sit on the end, and fill it up this way. And so we're going to catch some of you for not listening, okay? If you, I mean, this has happened every time that I've been here. Because people don't have ears to hear.
Are there stubborn?
Are there, absolutely. Well, that's tied in with it, isn't it? Or just being stubborn. It's hard for me to believe somebody would willfully not sit at the end of the table. I mean, you know, maybe... Because I wouldn't willfully do it. I think, well, it's hard for me to believe somebody would just sit there. But anyway, don't be stubborn either. And Jesus said, don't have, you know, to him who has ears, let him hear. The Bible speaks often of ears in a literal sense, but more often than that, it's used in a figurative sense, and it speaks of hearing and understanding. You know, there's people that would hear, you know, in the parable of the sower, the different kinds of soil. There was one soil where the seed, it said the word of God was sown and the birds came and stole it. And then Jesus explained that person didn't understand what he heard, so the Satan stole it. And then he says in the parables, to him who has, more will be given. He says, take care how you listen, for to him who has, will more be given. And to him who thinks he has, even what he thinks he has will be taken away and given to the one who has. So it has to do with taking care how you listen. It means to give ear, means to pay careful attention to. Hosea 4 says, harlotry wine and new wine take away the understanding. King James says, take away the heart. You know, the understanding is the truth that makes you free. You and I have to have understanding because if we don't have understanding, we don't know the truth and we're not set free. So if we don't understand what we hear, we can't be free. Isaiah 6:9 says, and he, God, said, go and tell this people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull and their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. You know, generationally, if we've been people that listened, say you're a person that you really listened, you know, your forefathers didn't listen. And so it can be a generational curse where this curse coming down on us, go tell this people, keep on listening, but don't, you won't get it. Keep on looking, but you won't understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return, and I'll heal them. Now this same passage, you'll find in the parable of the sower. But Jesus said to the disciples, blessed are your eyes, disciples, because you see. Blessed are your ears, because you hear. And he said, but to the multitudes, in other words, the majority, give them ears that hear not, eyes that see not, and a heart that cannot understand so that they cannot be healed. Proverbs says, forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Folly is the opposite of understanding. And wherever you have folly, you will be disciplined. In whatever area of your body there's folly, you will be disciplined. The Bible says the discipline of a fool is his folly. My son died of AIDS in 1989, and his folly was homosexual sin. You hear all of these homosexuals that are protesting because they don't have AIDS research. What more do they need to know than repent of your sin? Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no what kind of research do you need? You're looking for something else besides what God's Word says? Deuteronomy 18 and 19 says, "It'll come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." Acts 3:22, "Raise up a prophet that will take heed to obey everything God says." And, of course, that was Jesus. Proverbs 18:15 says, "The mind of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." You know, God says in Hosea, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge." And when we stop up our ears, it means that we refuse to listen to God. In Acts 7:53, that's exactly what they did. It says, "You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it, how when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing at their teeth." Zechariah 7:13, it says, "And it came about that just as he called and they would not listen, so they called and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a storm wind among all the nations whom they have not known. Thus the land is desolated behind them, so that no one went back and forth, for they made the pleasant land desolate." You know, I've seen lots of people's ears healed when they repented of judgments that they'd made on their mother and father, when they repented of refusing to listen to their mother and father. My little grandson has been to the doctor. He's 14, and he's been to the doctor two times in his life, one when he had his lip cut open, and another time when he broke his hand. The other day, he had an ear infection, and my son said, "I guess I'm just going to have to break down and take him to the doctor." And I said, "Will you care if I anoint him with oil?" And he said, "No." So my son, his daddy, and my grandson is such an obedient boy. He's such a blessing. He's a godly young man. But his daddy, my son, has a tendency sometimes to kind of beat a dead horse when he gets on his little soapbox and starts preaching. And I knew exactly what was wrong with David's ear. Because sometimes, I hope my son never gets his tape, but sometimes I have to turn him off myself.
Bless him.
Yes, I do bless him. And so I realized what my grandson had done. And so I went over, and I said, "David, do you just kind of turn your daddy off sometime?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, you can't do that anymore." Anointed him with oil, and his ear was healed. He never went to the doctor. You see, it's good for kids to learn those principles. I wish I had known a lot of those things when I was growing up. I would have had a lot less pain. And I've seen people heal when you break soul ties. I remember another lady whose husband was an alcoholic, and she had a hearing loss, and her husband would get drunk and slap her in the ears. And when she forgave him and broke soul ties, her ears were healed. So I've seen enough people heal that it's convinced me that there's a reason why, you know, if it's not the generational iniquities of the forefathers, there's things that we've done in our life and the things our forefathers have done that are affecting our lives today. Proverbs 15:32 says, "He who neglects discipline despises himself." So that's one of the roots to self-hatred. "But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding." So if I go to God and I'm willing to listen to him and do what he says, I acquire understanding, which is the truth that sets me free. And God says my people are perishing for the lack of knowledge. The ears of the Lord symbolizes that he hears our prayer as opposed to idols who cannot hear. 1 Peter 3 says, "The ears of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Psalms 18 says, "In my distress I called upon the Lord." Psalms 115, 4 through 8 says, "Idols cannot hear. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have eyes, but they cannot see." Proverbs 28:9 says, "He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination to the Lord." And people who refuse to listen are not only deceived, but they're stubborn. They're stiff-necked, they're arrogant, scoffers, rebellious, perverse, and idolatrous is what the Word of God says about them. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, in latter times men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. There's another place that said, don't throw your pearls before swine because they'll trample you. There's some people that are not correctable. And I think we all have family members that are not people that you can correct. Am I the only one that has family members that are uncorrectable? Are you a person that's not easily corrected? Don't be that kind of a person. The Bible says that if you refuse correction, you're on a path of death. And so there's another scripture that says, a fool hates advice. He doesn't think he needs any advice, but a wise man will listen to others, especially if that person is speaking truth to you and speaking God to you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Nehemiah 9:16 through 37. It says, but they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to thy commandments. And they refused to listen and did not remember thy wondrous deeds which thou hast performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and thou didst not forsake them. But as soon as they had rest and everything was peaceful, they did evil again before thee, therefore thou didst abandon them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And if you and I want to be abandoned by God and handed over to our enemies, then if we just be stubborn and rebellious, that opens us up. It says, when they cried to thee, thou didst hear from heaven, and many times thou didst rescue them according to thy compassion, and admonish them in order to turn them back to thy law, yet they acted arrogantly and did not listen to thy commandments, but sinned against thine ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he shall live. You see how death comes when we don't listen? It says, and they turned a stubborn shoulder and stiffened their neck and would not listen. I had a family member, in fact a sister, who was having shoulder problems. Now, I don't know what this sister's into, but it's not good. But she was having excruciating pain in her shoulder. And, of course, for the last 10 years, I've known her to turn a stubborn shoulder to God. So I gave her all these scriptures on stubbornness and on her shoulder. And, you know, I don't know what she did, but she said, that's interesting. I'll have to study that. I've not heard her complain about her shoulder since. I said, have you ever turned a stubborn... I mean, I knew she had, but I didn't want to just... Blaster, I said, have you ever turned a stubborn shoulder to God? That's one of the major roots to shoulder problems. When God's telling us something, we can be standing like this, but in the spirit, we're really doing this. Is that right? And so that can be one of the roots to it. A stiff neck. I remember at one of my seminars years ago, I watched this man, a crook in his neck manifested. He came up to me like this. I said, you got a stiff neck, huh? I said, have you ever been stubborn, rebellious? He said, I have never done anything anybody has ever told me to do in my entire life. And so the next day, I took him through all the scriptures in the Word of God on stubborn, stiff neck and led him in repentance. You know, the Bible said he sent his word to heal you. When I got down to the last couple of verses, I said, how's your neck now? I had about two verses to go. He said, I think it's almost well. He said, there's a little place right there. And by the time he repented over those next two verses, his neck was totally healed. So if you have a problem in any part of your body and you can find it here in the Word of God, just repent over the Word. If you have heart problems, there's 800 scriptures on the heart. The Bible says, he sent doctors to heal you. No, he said he sent his word to heal you. Right? And so as you repent over the word, healing will come. Now I've got a few little physical things that I can't find in the Word of God. But I'm looking. I know it's there. I know the answer's there. Okay, 2 Kings 17:13 and through 20. And I'm just going to read verse 14. It says, "However, they did not listen, but stiffened their neck like their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God." Isaiah 66:3-5. And I just want to read verse 4. It says, "So I'm going to choose their punishments, and I'll bring on them what they dread, which is fear. Because I called, but no one answered. I spoke, but they did not listen. And they did evil in my sight and chose that in which I did not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you, who exclude you for my name's sake, have said, 'Let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy,' but they will be put to shame." Go, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "Turn to my reproof, and I'll pour my spirit out upon you, and you'll know my word." Glory to God. "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and you did not want my reproof." That's my discipline or correction. "I'll even laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your dread comes, when your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." You know, the fear of the Lord is to turn away from evil. Is that right? In other words, they didn't choose to turn away from the evil. "They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency," which means carelessness, impiety, to be tranquil and secure, it's a false security. "And they'll be satiated with their own devices, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he," and this is a promise for the days we're living in, "but he who listens to me shall dwell securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil." What a promise. But we have to listen to him. And we have to learn how to hear him. And he teaches us how to hear him. And it's a process. Jeremiah 7:26 says, if you want to turn there, "Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear or stretch out their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did evil more than their fathers. And you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. And you shall call to them, but they will not answer you." Jeremiah 12:17 says, "But if they will not listen, then I will uproot that nation, uproot and destroy it, declares the Lord." Go to Isaiah 42:20. It says, "You have seen many things, but you do not observe them. Your ears are open, but none hears. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to make the law great and glorious. But this is a people plundered and despoiled, all of them trapped in caves or are hidden away in prison. They have become a prey with none to deliver them. They've seen many things, but they haven't observed them. Their ears are open," meaning they can hear physically, but nobody hears. It says, "They'll become a prey with none to deliver them and a spoil with none to say, 'Give them back.'" And Lord, I just say, give them back in Jesus' name. "Who among you will give ear to this? Who will give heed and listen hereafter? Who gave Jacob up for spoil and Israel to plunderers?" That's the church. "Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned and in whose ways they were not willing to walk, and in whose laws they did not obey? So he poured out on them the heat of his anger and the fierceness of battle, and it set him aflame all around, yet he did not recognize it, and it burned him, but he paid no attention." Did you know there's a spiritual fire burning people, and they don't even know that they're being burned? And how I found this out, at one of my seminars, a man came up, he said, I feel like my back's on fire. And I thought of the scripture in Jude that says, snatch men out of the fire. I just took his hands and I said, I snatch him out of the fire. And he went, wow, I felt that. It's gone. It was like a spiritual fire. See, when we don't listen to God and we don't obey His Word, He pours out on us the heat of His anger and the fierceness of battle, and it sets Him aflame all around. Yet He did not recognize it, and it burned Him, but He paid no attention. It's a spiritual fire. You know, not everything you can see with the physical eyes is what reality is. For example, the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it and are safe. Well, that's a spiritual place. And it's more real than this building. But we look at temporal buildings and we pay more attention to temporal buildings than we do spiritual temples. And so, the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous can run into it or safe. You know, there's things that happen in our life. I was teaching on rebellion at a seminar, and I had a lady come up. She said, pray for me. I feel like I've got something in my mouth. And she'd been in prostitution and crack. And I thought of this scripture. It says, don't be like a senseless horse or mule. It has to have a bit and bridle in your mouth to keep you in check. So I led her to repentance. Lord, forgive me for rebellion. Forgive me for being like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit and bridle in my mouth to keep me in check. And she repented, and she said, it's gone. You see, she had a spiritual bit and bridle in her mouth. For example, the Bible says that words are arrows. You know, when people speak evil words over you, it's like in the spirit, you've got spiritual arrows sticking all in you. The Bible talks about moth-eaten garments. It talks about the prudent are crowned with knowledge. If you're prudent, that means you watch your path. It means that you're not careless in your walk. It means you watch your path. You see the evil. You turn away from it. And God says if you're that kind of person, that you have a crown on your head. And, you know, you can't see the crown. But can I tell you the powers of darkness can see it? Is that right? The other day that God gave me this revelation, I was reading the Bible. It says the righteous are like the waves of the sea. Have you ever wondered why some people that don't want to walk with God are appalled by you? Have you ever wondered? I have. I thought the other day I told my son, I said, son, you know, what's wrong with me? Now, he doesn't do me that way. He said, Mother, quit thinking it's always something you're doing wrong. He said, it could be that other person don't want to walk with God. And so he made me feel better. But when I read that the righteous are like the waves of the sea. Now, I know we can be obnoxious. I'm not talking about that. If you're acting obnoxious, naturally you're going to get rejected. But if you're trying to be nice, you're trying to be a godly example, you're trying to show forth God's glory, you're walking in the Spirit, and people don't want to be around you. Well, the Bible says you're like the waves of the sea. What do the waves do? Bam! Bam! I mean, you're trying to be nice, but what's in you, Jesus in you, is pounding the daylights out of those people. Right? A wave is consistent. Is that right? It impacts. Yes. Oh! That makes you sick. Did you hear that? I think there's a whole message in there. You know, the Bible says that Noah condemned the world by his righteousness. The psalmist said, put a new song in my mouth, God, that many may see and fear and trust God. So if you're being nice, walking in the Spirit, and people don't want to be around you, it's because you're like the waves of the sea. So don't take it personal, okay? I've been taking it personal. No, don't take it personal. It's an antichrist spirit in them that they're not getting pounded, but the demons in them are getting pounded, and they don't feel comfortable around you. Amen? I hope that encourages you. That encourages me. Okay, so if we don't listen, we're plundered and we have no one to say give them back. Malachi 2:2 says, if you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, God said, then I'll send the curse upon you, and I'll curse your blessings, and indeed, I have cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. Jeremiah 44:4 says, if you want to turn there, it says, yes, I sent you, yet I sent you, all my servants, the prophets, again and again, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing, which I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ears to turn from their wickedness so as not to burn sacrifices to other gods. Therefore, my wrath and my anger were poured out, and they burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, so they have become a ruin and a desolation to this day. And you say, well, you know, I don't worship Buddha. I don't worship false gods. You know what your false gods are, the same as mine has been? You've got to love me. You've got to value me. You've got to treat me as worth it. You've got to communicate with me. You've got to take care of me. You've got to protect me. You've got to see how wonderful I am. In other words, anything that makes you mad and you get your button pushed or your parade rained on, it's an idol. Right? Deuteronomy 32 says that anger, woundedness, fear, dread, hunger, is all rooted, jealousy is all rooted in idolatry. And then God refers to people who will not listen to Him as false sons. Go to Isaiah 30, verse 1. It says, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit in order to add sin to sin. Who proceed down to Egypt or the world, go into the world for answers without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. You know, there's a shadow of the Almighty in Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. And so there's a shadow of Egypt, the safety of Pharaoh, or there's the shadow of the Almighty. You know, that would be another reason someone would reject you. If you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, God's shadow, God is overshadowing you. Right? What happened to the people? Oh, you know, when Peter, his shadow healed, I used to think, oh Lord, I want my shadow to heal. And then I thought, I don't know if I'm ready to go through what it's going to take for that. But then I realized God gave me a revelation. It wasn't Peter's shadow. It was God overshadowing Peter. So if God is overshadowing you, listen, your life is making an impact wherever you go. And some people want to be in the shadow of Pharaoh. They don't want to be in the shadow of the Almighty. If you're not listening to the Lord, you're listening to the song of fools. Go to Ecclesiastes 7:5. It says, it is better to listen to the rebuke of a wise man than for one to listen to the song of fools. Amen? Proverbs 5:7 says, now then, my son, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way from her, that's the harlot, and that's the voice of the harlot that says, turn in here. It's the voice of a stranger. It's not just a physical prostitute, but it's the voice that tries to get you to commit spiritual adultery against Jesus, your bridegroom. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest strangers be filled with your strength and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien. And you groan at your latter end when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I've hated instruction, and my heart spurned reproof. And I have not listened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to my instructors. Turn to 2 Timothy 4:3. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they'll accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside the mist. I remember a seminar that I had about 10 years ago or 15 years ago There's a girl, she said, pray for me. My ears feel like they've got something in them and they just itch. Well, I knew this girl 10 years before that day when she was a teenager, and she was the most rebellious teenager I've ever known. There was nothing she didn't do, and she was blatantly rebellious. So I led her in repentance of not listening, and I led her in repentance, and she said, I feel like I have corruption in my ears. And I led her in repentance for listening to dirty jokes and listening to corrupt words, and her ears were instantly healed just through repentance. Okay, here's some promises if we listen. Now, I know some of you are sitting out there, and if you grew up being loved based on your performance, you're thinking, oh, dear God, there's no hope for me. Somebody out there is thinking that. You just get over when you hear these words, you just get overwhelmed. You know, you can sit and listen to a TV for hours, but when you get under the Word of God, it's like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. And you really don't realize you're legalistic until you sit under a word that's trying to burn stuff off of you. If you grew up loved based on your performance, that you had to perform, then when you got saved, you received a lie that you have to perform from God for God. And that would be a picture of trying to turn the potter's wheel yourself. If you picture God the potter and you picture a potter's wheel, what does the clay do on the potter's wheel? Just yields, right? Now, in the olden days, they had to dig the clay out of the ground. They had to take the rocks, the roots, the sticks out, and all that stuff. Sounds like my phone, huh?
It is.
But if you can picture a potter's wheel, the potter does all the work. Is that right? Now, the clay's full of junk. The potter turns the potter's wheel. He takes the junk out. Is that right? He fashions the clay. He beats the bubbles out. He fashions it. He puts it in the kiln. He fires it. Basically, the potter does everything except one thing. The potter does everything. The clay only has one thing to do, and that's to yield to the potter. Is that right? Stay on the potter's wheel. You know, God doesn't look at all the junk in your clay. He looks at your heart that says, I got to get to my daddy. When my little granddaughter started walking, I mean, that little, she was 13 months old, that little tooth, you know, she'd grin and she'd walk, try to get me, and she'd fall down. And I just saw that little heart that had to get to her grandmother. And she'd get up and she'd take a few more steps and she'd fall. I didn't run over and kick her and say, you stupid kid, you fell down. See, God is not that way. God looks at your heart. God, my clay has got so much junk in it. And God, I'm just a mess, but here I am. Do with me whatever you want. I come under your control. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you being perfect. You see, if you grew up having to perform, then you're not on the potter's wheel. You're trying to crank it yourself. Are you understanding me, sister? Amen? So don't get overwhelmed. God's not overwhelmed with you. He looks at your heart that says, God, I want it pure. And I'm willing to yield my life to you, whatever it takes, here I am. That's all God expects out of you. And He'll teach you what you need to know, and He will fashion you to be what He puts you on this earth for. That encourages me. Just stay on the potter's wheel, because the potter is really smart. Okay, some of the promises, if you listen, success. Who wouldn't want to yield to the potter? Joshua 1:8 says, God told Joshua, He said, when you go in the land, you'll be a success if you do two things. If you hear the word of God, obey it, and meditate on the word day and night, then everything you do will be a success. And then healing. Exodus 15:26, and He said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what's right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, used to be your healer. I am your healer. Now, when it says you give earnest heed, means listening. In other words, listen to what God says. Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." In other words, you're a spiritual garden. Your heart's a garden. Watch what kind of seeds are planted in your garden. If you want to know what kind of seed was planted, look at what's coming up. If you plant corn in a garden, you know there was a corn seed planted, right? if there's perversion growing in your spiritual garden, there means there was seeds of perversion planted in your garden at some point in your life or even generationally. Maybe you were molested. You know, through a soul tie, you got the demons of whoever molested you. Praise God, you can get free. And then the next promise, safety. "He who listens to me will dwell securely and be at ease from the dread of evil." That is such a tremendous promise in the days we're living in when one world government's right around the corner. The next thing is you'll dwell with the wise. Proverbs 15:31 says, "He who listens to life-giving reproof shall dwell among the wise." The next thing, you'll have understanding. Proverbs 15:32, "Receive my discipline and you'll gain understanding," which is the truth that makes you free. Isaiah 19:20 says, "If you consent and obey, you'll have the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you." And then you'll have life. Isaiah 5:3, "Incline your ear and obey me. Listen that you may live." And then another blessing for listening to God is welfare versus judgment. Jeremiah 7:23, but this is what I commanded them, saying, "Obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you will be my people, and you will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backwards instead of forwards." Jeremiah 7:26, "Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did more evil than even their fathers." And then you'll have prosperity. Deuteronomy 29:9, "Keep the words of his covenant that you may prosper in all you do." You know what the new covenant says? How you keep the new covenant is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and your neighbor as yourself. Amen. That means you have to be willing to lay down your life for people, even when you don't feel like it. The next promise is you'll learn the fear of the Lord. Psalms 34:11, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord, which is to turn away from evil." And then blessings, Proverbs 8:3, "Therefore, my sons, listen to me. How blessed are they who keep my ways." And this last place, go to 1 Kings chapter 3. And I want you to turn there. This is the story of when God told Solomon he would give him anything he wanted. Verse 9. This is what God told in verse 3. "Now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places." And of course you know that Solomon ended up being his downfall. So with all of his heathen wives and their idolatrous ways, was destruction to him. But at this point in his life, it says in verse 9, "So give thy servant an understanding heart, a hearing heart, to judge thy people." To discern means distinguish, understand, to be skilled at anything, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of thine? And it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I've given you a wise and discerning heart, so there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you. And I've also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I'll prolong your days. I wonder if God told us He would give us anything we wanted, what would it be? Would you want wisdom and understanding? You know, if you've got that, you've got everything. And so, examine your heart. And why don't you stand up and ask the Lord to show you. Are you a person that can follow instructions? You have hearing problems? Spiritual hearing? Physical problems? Physical hearing? Do you have ears to hear? Did your mother and father and forefathers have ears to hear? If they didn't, then that's a generational curse plus what you've done. Pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Lord, in the name of Jesus, do I have ears to hear? I ask you, Lord, to show me what I need to repent of so that I might have ears to hear. And Lord, I pray with Solomon. Give me understanding, an understanding heart, a hearing heart, to judge, to discern between good and evil, and so that I might feed your children on understanding and knowledge. I ask for the truth, Lord, that makes me free. What do I need to repent of? So that you would open my ears to listen as a disciple. So that you would take away the dullness of my ears and break that curse, that I would have eyes that see not, ears that hear not, and a heart that couldn't understand, a dull heart, an insensitive heart, a stubborn heart. God, I want that out of my life. What do I need to repent of, Lord? So that I can be a person that listens not only to you, but to the hurting people around me. In Jesus' name. First, those of you who grew up being performance-oriented, well, your parents only loved you when you performed. Let's forgive them for that so you can get a revelation of just being on the potter's wheel. So, Lord, I forgive my mother and father for training me up to be a performer, training me up that I had to take care of myself, training me up that mother and daddy and you, God, were not there for me. That my parents were not there for me. And then I received a lie that you weren't there either, God, that I had to do it myself. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for believing a lie that I have to turn the potter's wheel instead of just yield to you, the potter. And, Lord, this day, this night, I yield my life to you. I come under your control. I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. And I get on your potter's wheel. And Lord, I'm just a mess. But Lord, you're not overwhelmed. You're the junk taker outer. And you know what to take first. And I give you permission to do whatever you want to do with me. I give up, Lord. I surrender. And Lord, forgive me that since I've received you as Savior, I've not been willing to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Lord, I've been holding on to my life and I've been losing it. Lord, forgive me for not stretching out my ear, spreading out my ear, extending my ear, and bending my ear to hear you. And I forgive my forefathers for being stubborn, stiff-necked. And Lord, I've been stubborn, stiff-necked. I forgive my parents that I grew up in verbal abuse, contention, and strife. I forgive my parents that they were raging and controlling. And Lord, forgive me for just tuning them out and turning them off. forgive me for disdaining their voice and rejecting their voice and not honoring my father and mother. Lord, I ask you to wake up my ear to listen. And in Jesus' name, forgive me for being stubborn, rebellious, obstinate, stiff-necked. Lord, I ask you to remove the curse off of me and off of my descendants, that I would keep on listening but not perceive. I'd keep on looking but would not understand. God, forgive me for fruitlessness that would cause you to render my heart insensitive, my ears dull, my eyes dim, lest I should see with my eyes, hear with my ears, understand with my heart, so that I could be healed. Forgive me, Lord, for not being a disciple, not taking care how I listen. God, forgive me for not having a prudent mind that acquires knowledge. Forgive me for not having a wise ear that seeks knowledge. Forgive me for being cut to the quick at your word and gnashing in my teeth at you. God, forgive me that because I wouldn't listen to you, you wouldn't listen to me. God, remove the judgment that would cause me to be scattered with a storm wind among the nations and to be desolate and to go back and forth. Lord, forgive me for not taking care how I listen. Forgive me for being careless. Forgive me for disconnecting to cope with life. God, I ask you to reconnect me. Forgive me for not making my ear attentive to wisdom and inclining my heart to understanding. Forgive me for not crying for discernment and lifting my voice for understanding. Forgive me for not seeking wisdom and understanding like I would seek for silver and search for her as for hidden treasure so I could discern the fear of the Lord. Forgive me for neglecting discipline. Forgive me for being a person that thinks they need no correction. Forgive me for pride and rebellion. God, forgive me for doing evil that would cause your face to be against me. Forgive me for turning away my ear from listening to your law. God, forgive me for being perverse and idolatrous. Forgive me for not being a wise son and daughter and accepting my father's discipline. Forgive me for being a scoffer and not listening to rebuke. God, forgive me for not listening to you, which would cause you to abandon me and hand me over to my enemies so they could rule over me. Forgive me for acting arrogantly and not listening to your commandments, but sinning against your ordinances. Forgive me, Lord, for turning a stubborn shoulder to you and to my mother and father. Forgive me for stiffening my neck and refusing to listen. Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for not listening, choosing my own way, my soul delighting in my abominations, which would cause you to choose my punishment and bring on me what I fear and dread. And when you spoke, I didn't listen. Lord, I've seen many things, but I haven't observed them. My ears have been open, but I haven't heard. God, you wanted to make the law great and glorious in my life, but I've been plundered and despoiled, trapped in caves and hidden away in prisons. And I've become a prey with none to deliver me, and a spoil with none to say, give him back. And I say, give him back in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me for not listening, not giving ear to you, which would cause you to give me up for spoil and to plunderers. Forgive me that I have not been willing to walk in your ways and obey your law, which would cause you to pour out on me the heat of your anger and the fierceness of battle, and it to set me aflame all around. But I didn't recognize it, and I've been being burned and haven't paid any attention. God, forgive me for not taking your word to heart and giving honor to your name, which would cause you to send a curse upon me, to curse my blessings, because I haven't taken your word to heart. God, forgive me for being a false son and daughter, a rebellious child, executing a plan but not yours, making an alliance but not of your spirit. Forgive me for adding sin to sin, going down to Egypt, consulting and taking refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and seeking shelter in the shadow of Egypt. God, forgive me for refusing to listen to the instruction of the Lord. Forgive me for not listening to you, but listening to the song of fools. Forgive me for listening to the voice of a harlot, not keeping away from her. A physical harlot and the voice of a harlot that's been trying to entice me away from allegiance to my bridegroom, Jesus, which would cause my vigor to be given to others and my years to the cruel one, and strangers to be filled with my strength, and my hard-earned goods to go to the house of an alien, and me to groan at my latter end when my flesh and body are consumed. Forgive me for hating instruction and spurning reproof. Forgive me for not listening to the voice of my teachers and inclining my ear to my instructors, which has caused me to be almost in utter ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Forgive me for not enduring sound doctrine, but wanting to have my ears tickled and accumulating for myself teachers in accordance to my own desires. Forgive me for turning my ears from the truth and turning aside the myths. Forgive me for not obeying your word and meditating on it day and night. Forgive me for not giving earnest heed to your voice to do what's right and give ear to your commandments and keep your statutes, which would cause you to put none of the diseases on me that you've put on the people of the world. For you're my healer. Lord, open my ear to your instruction. And Lord, forgive me for not giving attention to your words, inclining my ear to your sayings. Forgive me for letting your word depart from my sight and not keeping your word in the midst of my heart, so that I would have health to my whole body. Forgive me for not watching over my heart with diligence. Forgive me for not listening to you so I could dwell securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. Forgive me for not listening to life-giving reproof so I could dwell among the wise. Forgive me for not being prudent so I could have a crown of knowledge on my head. Forgive me for not receiving discipline so I could attain understanding. Forgive me for not consenting and obeying so I could eat the fat of the land. Forgive me for refusing and rebelling, which has caused me to be devoured by the sword. God, forgive me for not inclining my ear, but walking in my own counsels and the stubbornness of my evil heart, which has caused me to go backwards instead of forward. Forgive me for not loving you with all my heart, mind, soul, and body, and my neighbor as myself. Now, Lord, I come to you. I come to listen, and I thank you that you will teach me the fear of the Lord. I forgive my mother and father for not teaching me anything worth knowing and letting me raise myself and giving me away and abandoning me. And Lord, forgive me for not keeping your ways. And Lord, forgive me that if you told me that you were going to tell me everything you told Solomon, forgive me that I wouldn't have wanted knowledge and understanding and wisdom. I wanted riches or something else. Forgive me, God. Forgive me for having a temporal mindset instead of an eternal value system. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I forgive my forefathers for all the things I've just now confessed. And I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers that would cause you to give me ears that hear not, eyes that see not, a heart that could not understand so that I could be healed, a heart that would be dull and insensitive. And forgive me that today and all the days past, when I've heard your voice, I've hardened my heart. And forgive me, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the things I've confessed. And I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, in the name of Jesus. Now I command every spirit that has stopped up their ears to loose them now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of deafness has to go. All spirits of hardness of heart has to go. All spirits of shoulder problems from turning a stubborn shoulder has to go. In the name of Jesus. All spirits of stubbornness, stiff-neckedness, perverseness has to go in Jesus' name. All spirits that have hindered them from having spiritual ears and spiritual eyes has to go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you're extending your hand to heal even now, Lord. You're opening ears to listen as a disciple. Lord, I forgive my forefathers that they weren't disciples. And I was born under a curse that caused me to not be able to see or hear or understand and to have a dullness of heart. I break that curse and I say this goes no further in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. All legalism, all perfectionism, all performance orientation has to go. Every spirit that would overwhelm them, lie to them, all spirits of fear of hearing God's voice, I command you to go. All spirits that came in through disdaining and cutting off the voice of their father and mother, go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. All stubbornness, all stiff-neckedness, all arrogance has to go now in Jesus' name. I break your power. All spirits that keep them from hearing, seeing, understanding, retaining, has to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to reconnect them in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I want you to get a partner. Sister, can I take you? You know, Jude says, jerk him out of the fire, right? So I jerk her out of the fire. And then I jerk her up on the potter's wheel. So get a partner and put him on the potter's wheel and jerk him out of the fire. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Don't let pride keep you from getting a blessing. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, sing with me. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of a lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of a lamb. And his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. You are the mighty King, Master of everything. Your name is wonderful, Jesus in your. Bless you, Lord, fill me. How many of you felt some release just as you were repenting over the word, things were leaving? Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Now, tomorrow, when you go in the morning, when you go into the dining hall, what are you going to do? Oh, tomorrow. We're going to fast, right? Bless the Lord. Okay, well, I love you. And prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow's fast day. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.